Well, good morning, everyone. We're turning to a new portion in God's Word today. It's in the Gospel of Luke. That's the third Gospel, as you know. And the chapter 12. The chapter 12, and we're going to read some verses from the chapter, beginning at verse 13. We're not only going to read the parable, but we're going to read a few verses in front of it, just to see what it was that prompted the Lord to tell this particular parable. Verse 13 then of Luke chapter 12. And one of the company said unto him, now let's stop there. One of the company. So the person who's speaking here is one of those who linked themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one of those who were happy enough to identify themselves with Christ. So, it's good to remember that. It's not one of his enemies. It's not one of his opponents. It's one of those who are part of the company that followed him. And one of the company said unto him, Master. Now, there again, we have an indication of who this man is. He calls the Savior Master. So, he's indicating that he considers the Savior a very special person. He's calling him Master. He claims to be in submission to him. Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. You know, boys and girls, God can see our hearts. But we also reveal our hearts to one another in the words that we speak. We might not want others to read our hearts. But if you listen to what other people say, you will see something of their hearts. And this man, in asking this question, making this request, reveals his heart. Listen to how the Savior answered him. And he said unto him, Man. You know, if you use that term to someone, man, you're indicating that there's a measure of distance between you and the person you're speaking of. I don't mean physical distance, but I think it suggests that he's not actually a friend. He's not someone with whom you're having close relationships, but rather, he's almost a stranger, and although this man's in the company and he's speaking to the Lord Jesus as Master, the Savior speaks to him more as a stranger than as a friend and disciple. Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? He says, I haven't come to take up such matters as an argument between two brothers about their inheritance. That's not what I'm here upon the earth to engage in. That's of really no interest to me. And he said unto them, now he's addressing everyone, take heed. Oh, always take heed when the Savior says, take heed, for he's about to say something of particular importance. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits, my harvest? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God, we've listened to the man. Now we're about to listen to what God has to say in response to what this man is thinking. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Amen. And the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. I picked that hymn this morning because of what it says in the second verse. I'll read it to you. The second verse of Horatius Bonner's great hymn. I lay my wants on Jesus. All fullness dwells in him. In other words, Boys and girls, it's not just the needs of our souls that we find in Christ, but it's all of our needs. Whatever life throws at us, we turn to the Lord and He will supply our needs. And here we have a parable that was prompted by what obviously was an ongoing argument between two brothers. As we read in verse 13, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." That tells us so much about that man. Here he was in the company of the Son of God, the fount of all wisdom, the source of all joy and peace and blessing. And what does he ask him? He asks him about the dividing of the property that obviously has come down to the two brothers. Maybe their father recently died and now his property is being divided amongst the two brothers. And there's an argument. How often there's an argument about inheritance. And that's what's uppermost in his mind. The things of earth, not the things of eternity, the things of earth. You know, boys and girls, they say that a pig can only look up when it's on its back. Think about that. And if any of you have had any dealings with pigs, I can still see that on the many occasions I looked into a pen down at pigs, I can see them rolling their eyes upward, trying to see up as high as they could. They didn't seem to have the ability that a horse has or a cow has, you know, of lifting their head up and looking all around them. And it's only when they're on their back that they can look up. And sometimes men are just like that. They're forever looking down, like the pig grubbing in the dirt. And rarely do they ever look up and think about eternal and eternal things. And here are two brothers, and their thinking is represented in the words of this one who makes the request. The thing that's uppermost in my mind, I want to get my hands on more of the inheritance that has come my way. That's what he was thinking about in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many are of that frame of mind and heart? Now the Savior deals with the subject of covetousness in this parable. Because in the verse 15, in response to this question, he turns and he speaks to those who are about. He says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." In other words, this man's question indicates clearly that in his heart there is covetousness. You see, one of the brothers had laid hold, it would appear, on more of the inheritance than they had a right to. And the other brother had a desire to have more of the inheritance than he presently possessed. And both of them had within their hearts covetousness. Covetousness. Covetousness is a desire, an improper desire, to possess that which belongs to someone else. That's what covetousness is. It's an improper desire to possess what others have, and you feel you don't. It's a desire to gain riches beyond that which is necessary for our needs. What is very important, boys and girls, is that covetousness, to have this desire for more than you need, is a breach of the 10th commandment. The 10 commandments set out the mind and will of God for us, but it also serves to indicate those areas of life where man is most likely to go astray. And when we come to the 10th commandment, it deals with covetousness. And that placing it within the 10 commandments indicates that this is a serious matter. To have covetousness within your heart is a serious breach of God's law. Listen to what God says in the 10th commandment. We're reading from Exodus chapter 20, the verse 17. "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." You'll not look on that which is your neighbor's, from his house right down to the beast in the field. You'll not look at it and say, boy, I wish I had that. I would like that. That's covetousness. You're not content with what you have, and you'd like to have what your neighbor has. And God says, thou shalt not covet. In the New Testament, we find covetousness described as idolatry. Over in Colossians, the chapter 3, and the verse 5, Paul says, in that verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, why would he say covetousness is idolatry? Very simply, it is because that which you set your heart on, which you shouldn't, which you covet, you make an idol of. You make an idol of it. In other words, you'll do anything in order to possess that which you covet. As we seek to serve God with our all, and do his bidding, and do his will, and obey him, and walk with him, and please him, well, when we set our affection on something that we shouldn't, our whole life is geared to getting our hands on it. Even if it means doing that which is underhand, even doing that which is unlawful. Why do men go out at night and in the darkness seek to rob? Because they covet, they want that which they don't have but which others have. And they're prepared to obey this evil inclination and serve it the way you would serve an idol. They're idolaters. That's what Paul's talking about. Covetousness makes us idolaters. Again, because I want you to get the right understanding of just what it is the Savior is talking about, in another verse in the New Testament, again it's the writings of Paul, Ephesians chapter 5, and the verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Now, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, there's three things linked together. Covetousness is in bad company in this verse. Uncleanness, well, we know what that means. That means moral uncleanness, impurity of life. And covetousness is put right next to it. I tell you again, it's in bad company. This helps us to understand how serious a matter covetousness is. It's a thing that can spring up in our hearts very easily. I would like that. I want that. And we might not think that's very serious, but God does. Because when he speaks of it, he puts it in the company of the most awful sins. And we need to understand that. Hebrews chapter 13 and the verse 5. Let your conversation. That word conversation, you've heard me say this before, and you've heard others say this before. That word conversation in the New Testament doesn't mean just you're talking one with another. You're sharing your thoughts with the words of your mouth or by the words of your mouth with another. That's conversation. As we would say here, gabbing together. That's what we understand conversation to mean. But conversation in the New Testament understanding means more than that. Conversation in the New Testament sense is your whole way of life. Because every step you take, everything you do, every word you speak, conveys to all around a lot of information about you. Just the way when we're talking together, we share information. Well, our life, generally speaking, shares information. How we behave, how we get on with others, it tells people a lot about you. And so in the New Testament, the way we live, our lifestyle, is spoken of as a conversation. A conversation. So Paul says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Paul there says, be content with what you have. Don't give way to covetousness. So covetousness, the opposite of it, is contentment. Be content with what you have. Not looking over the hedge, as it were, like some brute beast, which must think at times, that grass over there looks a lot better than the grass here. I think I'll break through the hedge and get at it. People live like that, just like the brute beast. They see what others have and they say, they've got more than I have, and I like what they have, and I think I'll try and get what they have. And they'll break through the hedge of propriety, of decency, in order to get it. But Paul says, be content with such things as you have. Then he tells us what it is we have. And listen to this statement, boys and girls. Those of you who are saved, I want you to listen to these words. Listen. For he said, that's the Lord, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's what you have today. If you're saved, when you journeyed to school this morning, the Lord was with you. As you're sitting here in the assembly, the Lord is with you. That's what he says. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, mommy and daddy, or mommy or daddy, who love you very much, left you at the door. They didn't come in, but the Lord didn't. He came in through the door with you. And wherever you go today, he'll be there. That's what you have. That's what you have, and no one else except other Christians have that. Now, having the Lord with us, never leaving us nor forsaking us, why would we covet anything? Because he's there, not just as our companion, but he's there to supply all our needs. He's there to meet our every requirement before we recognize we have a need. He knows that we have that need. And before we can ever hunger after something, he's already making arrangements to satisfy that hunger. You remember Elijah, when he was by the brook, hiding from Ahab? Daily he was supplied with food by the Lord. The ravens brought it. Now the ravens come down here following every break time. And they don't come to bring things to you. They come to pick up whatever it is you've dropped, because that's what they are by nature. But here God makes them bring to Elijah his needs. And when the brook dried up, and doubtless the ravens stopped, because God made them stop, away at a distance there was a woman, a widow woman, a poor widow woman, who had only a little meal in a barrel and a little taste of oil in a container. God was making ready for Elijah, before Elijah knew anything about it. I tell you, boys and girls, when the Lord tells us that he is with us, and therefore we should never covet anything, it is because he's the supplier of all our needs. We should never, never, never look out on what others possess and say, I wish I had that, because you have far more than they have. You have the Lord with you at all times. What we've looked at this morning indicates to us, to some degree, just how serious a sin is covetousness, even though it is very common, very, very common amongst people, and furthermore, really thought nothing of. We'll take the matter a little further when we come back again to look at this passage on Thursday in the will of the Lord. Now, let's bow together in prayer. Lord, help us to see what it is you are saying and understand it. And help us, Lord, by your grace, to adjust our thinking to be the same as the Lord's thinking. Help us to have the same outlook and to understand things as he would have us to understand, that we might not be subject to an earthly, sinful mind that is set in opposition to God. Bring us into conformity with thyself, Lord. Bring us into line with thyself. Help us to get into step with God. Bless the boys and the girls today. Bless the school. Meet its need. Remember each home from which the children have come. Bless mom and dad and all the family. These things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.